Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, March the 11th. And, well, we got a couple of things to talk about tonight. President Biden just gave his first primetime address. And, you know, it was, I guess he delivered it okay in terms of style and delivery. I'll give him a good grade on that. I'm not going to sit here and do a lot of partisan attacks. I think, you know, we'll give him a passing grade on the speech. You know, he did fine. He looked okay and all of that. So I'm not going to get into that part of the speech. But I am going to talk a little bit about the content of the speech, which I thought was really disappointing. And let me tell you why. Here's a president, roughly 50 days into his presidency. This is an extremely divided country, very divided country. He has a 50-50 Senate. He has a House that is roughly 50-50. I mean, there's like nine votes or nine positions that separate the House. He has 31 state legislatures run by the Republican Party. So, you know, this is a very divided country. This is not, you know, we don't need any more divisions in this country right now. So what does he do? Here's what I was expecting him to do, or what I would have advised him to do. I would have said, look, my fellow Americans, I know we've had a very contested election, and I know many of you are angry, but I think it's time to come together and maybe recognize some of the good things that President Trump did with the vaccine, and he had a very difficult job with this pandemic. You know, it comes along every 100 years, so I'm going to congratulate the president for doing the, or President Trump for this or this or that, and, you know, all of you who voted for him, you know, he did some good things, and let's put that behind us and look together to the future. Something along those lines, that's what I would have advised him to say, but he didn't say that. He says, a year ago we had denials. I don't know who he's talking about. Is he talking about Fauci saying a year ago that the mask was not necessary or important? Is he talking about Nancy Pelosi a year ago running around the streets of San Francisco saying that there's nothing going on or no problem? I mean, is he talking about himself, who a year ago was saying that it was not necessary to cancel the trips to China or the flights to China like President Trump did? Is he talking about the Democrat mayor of New York City who a year ago was telling people to ride the subways, no big problem? And so, you know, I mean, all of us who went through this these last 12 months, we remember the things that he said and Democrats said a year ago. And now to hear President Biden tonight say, a year ago we had denials and we didn't do anything, I mean, that's just that is a terrible cheap shot, not just on President Trump, but on the people, the bureaucrats, the military people, all of those bureaucrats who worked very hard to get things done, the ones who put together the partnership between the private sector and the public sector, who made the vaccine possible. I mean, the vaccine, the fact that we had a vaccine by the end of the year is a tremendous victory for President Trump. And that President Biden could not tonight take 30 seconds and acknowledge that tells me all I need to know about this man. This man is clearly, he's either bitter or angry, or he's not a very good president. He's not a very good leader. Because at some point, you got to bring the country together. And he didn't do that tonight. Now, again, I'm not talking about his delivery, and I'm not talking about, you know, God bless America, God bless the troops, the United States is the greatest country in the world. All of that stuff is fine. All of that stuff is good. But that's not what the country needs right now. The country needs for the two sides to come together. And he didn't do any of that tonight. So that's why on style and delivery, you know, I'll give him a B+. That's fine. But on content and the idea that he's going to bring the country together and people like me who didn't vote for him, who are still angry about the election, he didn't do anything to talk to me. And I know there's a lot of you out there who feel the same way. So I was just so disappointed with his speech. I really felt that this was a wasted opportunity for him to get over the partisan politics and to be more of a president than the head of the Democrat Party. And tonight he came across as the head of the Democrat Party. He didn't come across as the president of the United States. So all I can tell you is I don't think this speech is going to do him a lot of good politically. Yeah, it'll probably, you know, the people at CNN will tell you that this is the greatest speech since Lincoln's second inaugural or something like that. But I don't think that matters anyway. I think what really matters is that half of the country is angry, and with good reason, because half of the country is watching a speech and they're saying, wait a minute, you're not even willing to give President Trump a little credit for anything. Everything is, I did it all. I came in on the 20th of January, and at noon, this thing got rolling, and look at all we've done. No, a lot of what you've done is because you took over from the foundation that President Trump had begun. So this is why, you know, I tell you, I've been saying this several times, that I've been very surprised by President Biden's horrible political instincts. You know, he talks about uniting the country, and he's going to the left. He talks about, you know, a speech tonight, and he doesn't recognize anything that President Trump did. So I don't think it worked. I don't think it worked for people like us who are listening to this speech going, wait a minute. What about the vaccine? What about the work that was done before to bring, you know, all of this to the vaccine and everything else? None of that was acknowledged tonight. And I think that was a terrible mistake that will divide the country even more than we are at the moment. Well, another big story here in North Texas today is that the Texas Rangers baseball team is going to be opening 100%, meaning the seats at the stadium. You know, all the seats are going to be sold for opening day about a month away. And now you have to wear a mask if you go to the game. And there are going to be some safe distance, I guess, restrictions when you come in and, you know, a few things like that. But you'll be able to go to the game and watch a baseball game. And that is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. I am so happy about that. Now, the Dallas Cowboys, not to be undone, they said they want to fill up the stadium as well. So they want to put 100% of an audience in September when they start playing. So that's good news. Those are good news that we're going to have baseball games, finally, baseball games that you can actually go to. And for those of you who may not realize this, the Rangers last year opened a new stadium here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and none of the fans could go see it. And now this year, many of the fans are actually going to be able to go to the opening day of the new stadium. I think that is just absolutely wonderful news, and I am so thrilled and so happy that we've reached this point. Now, you got to wear a mask. I understand that. I don't have a problem with that. Texas is open, meaning businesses can open 100%, but if you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask. If you want to put a sign on the door that says you have to wear a mask when you enter this establishment, you have every right to do that as a business person. But the state is open. The state is open, and that is a good thing. And baseball games with fans are back, and they'll be back the first week of April. That is really good news, to say the least. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, I was listening to Governor Abbott today. He was being interviewed. I think it was Sean Hannity. And this governor has been criticized so much for opening up Texas. But what people tend to forget is that he didn't say you couldn't wear a mask. If you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask. I mean, you can, if you want to wear a mask, it's no problem. You can wear one. And if you're a business and you want your customers to wear a mask, no problem. You can wear a mask. So there's a lot of misinformation, just a lot of, honestly, partisan misinformation out there about what Texas is doing. But you got to, you know, you got to bring the economy back at some point. And I think the governor did the right thing. Speaking of the governor, he was, like I said, he was on the radio. And he was talking a little bit about the problem that we have here in the border. And I have a post about this coming out Friday morning where it's becoming very clear in Mexico. Now, this is Mexico now. I think many of the Mexican political class is starting to realize that this border policy cuts both ways. And what I mean by that is that people in Mexico are starting to get worried that the criminal elements are now using the open border policy to bring people to the border, to charge people lots of money to come to the border. I think Mexicans are also very concerned that their country is going to be turned into a highway to the United States, and that people from lots and lots of different places are going to be getting to Mexico and then walking to the border with the assistance of some criminal element. So all of a sudden, Mexico is beginning to worry a little bit about this. One of the problems is they're not going to have a lot of people in Mexico trying to walk through Mexico to get to the U.S.-Mexico border. And a lot of these people come from a lot of different places. It's not just Central America. They come from other countries. And I think the Mexicans are beginning to realize that, hey, maybe this is not such a good idea, because we don't want our country to turn into a highway to the United States. It's one thing for Mexicans to cross the border. I mean, I understand, but they don't have a problem with that in Mexico. But it's everybody else who wants to walk through Mexico to get to the American border. Those are the ones that they have a real problem. As I say, I have a post coming out Friday morning about all of this. It's interesting because Arizona and Montana have joined, I guess it's like 15 states who are suing the, well, there's several lawsuits. This one is about the immigration executive orders, but there's another lawsuit with about 15 states about some of these climate change restrictions that the Biden administration is imposing in the country by executive order. So I think you'll see some of these things go to the Supreme Court. And maybe finally the Supreme Court can define what an executive order is. We've been using too many executive orders for the last few presidencies. I mean, clearly President Obama and President Trump did as well. Not as much as let's put it this way. DACA, for example, was an obscene use of executive powers. Whether you support the Dreamers or not, that's not the point. I think there ought to be some solution for them. But to use an executive order to do it, it's obscene. And the way President Biden has been using executive orders, that is totally obscene. He's written like 60 of them in the short time. And these executive orders are basically ways of getting around Congress. So hopefully one of these ends up in the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court can say, look, you can't do this. If you want to make this change, you got to go through Congress. That's what Congress is for. So hopefully there is a blessing in disguise here. There is a way of turning these executive orders into a victory for the Constitution. I sure hope so. I think that is very, very necessary. Well, we remember today the 11th of March of the year 2004. You know, this is the day that the people of Madrid were going to work in the morning, and there was a terrorist attack, and they blew up several commuter trains, killing about 190 people, injuring a couple hundred more. And it sort of became known as the Spain, their version of 9/11. And it was a very politically contested issue because it became very politicized. And as you may remember, Spain took the troops out of Iraq, but the terrorist did not leave Spain. And they had other attacks on Spain later on. So it was hard to believe, but 17 years ago that this happened. And, you know, this is still very close for a lot of my friends in Spain. It was called the Spanish 9/11. That's what they call it, or March 11, 3/11, or the Spanish 9/11. It was a horrible day in Spain. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and again, very disappointed with President Biden's speech tonight. Good night, everybody. This is Sylvia. We'll talk to you the next time.